Welcome to the Resound Worship Songwriting Podcast, episode 139. I'm Joel Payne.
I'm Sam Hargreaves.
And this is a podcast to equip and inspire grassroots songwriters serving their local church and beyond. In this episode, we'll be catching up after our summer holidays, looking back on the Adoration Songs Challenge for August, and, as always, setting a brand new challenge for the month ahead, which in this case is September. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Joel.
Welcome back from the
welcome
summer.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, and welcome back because we took over last time when you were...
Oh, you did. Yeah.
Yeah.
We should have run a poll, shouldn't we, to see if anyone wanted me back. Maybe we shouldn't do that.
No, probably
you did a great job. It was really good.
Thanks,
thank
mate.
You.
Sorry yes. for any mistakes.
No, it's all right. Sam very kindly stepped in at the last minute to take the helm, which is very good of him. I was just thinking, you know how we always start each episode with the number of the podcast? This episode 138. None of the other podcasts I listen to do that. Do you think I ought to drop the number thing? Does anybody care?
I don't know if they still do, but when GodPod started, I used to listen to that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And what's the guy, the bishop guy that is the main St. Melitus guy?
The bishop
every
guy.
Every time he would go, "So, welcome to GodPod. What is it now? Is it 24? Is it 69? Is it..." Like, he... Every single time he wouldn't know what it was. I'm always impressed that you do know what it is.
I do. Usually I have the wrong number written down on the notes in front of me, and then I have to do some spontaneous and immediate mathematics. So we want to say at the start of this episode, this has been a very difficult month or 6 weeks for us since recording the last episode. Our very dear friend and colleague, Kieran Metcalf, sadly died after a 2-year battle with cancer. We're not going to spend a long time dwelling on that now, but we are going to come back to it at the end of the pod. And Sam and I and any others with us are going to just talk a few of our reflections on our friendship with Kieran and on his life and his impact on this ministry. But I just wanted to kind of say that at the outset. A little bit of news. I think we are almost certainly going to have a second retreat next year, a two retreat
Ooh.
Year with with an additional event in the early part of 2026 in a different location, and then the usual Wydale retreat in Yorkshire in the summer. I don't know about the US one, actually. We've got to have to check back in on that one as well, so who knows, maybe there'll be three. I've got a little child hovering outside my window. Just a moment. Quick. What? I can't. I'm recording a podcast. Hello, son.
I dried my tongue out and I wanted you to talk.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Yeah, really good.
Did he say he dried his tongue
out? He dried his tongue out and he wanted me to touch it.
Nice and crisp.
Let me touch your tongue. It's not dry anymore. No, go on.
Nice and sweet as well.
Oh. Great start. What a great start this is. What was I saying? Yeah, so we will almost certainly have two, maybe three retreats next year. The community songs, we did a recording. Wydale, we're still just processing that. It's been a slow couple of months. But hopefully those songs should appear sometime soon. And then we've also been gathering songs from some of you as well on the community theme from those who are involved in the 12 Song Challenge. So that stuff is happening. It's just it's fallen a little bit by the wayside over the last few weeks. There you go.
I think we should talk a bit about Boundless as well, because that's quite exciting.
Oh, yeah.
So the project that Joel and I were invited to be a very small part of, where Joel shook an egg and... we got to hobnob with what are they called? You know, famous people.
Yeah.
The album of that is now out.
Yeah.
And there are, I think, 8 songs which are all around sort of whole life discipleship themes around kind of singing on Sunday, but about Monday's reality. And they did a big thing about the first two, which was great. And then I felt like the album itself came out with not exactly a bang. And so if you haven't listened to it yet, it really is worth it because there's some great songs on there. And I think the whole idea of kind of shifting people's, you know, just a little bit of our perspective on a Sunday. So, yes, of course, we're still singing about God. Yes, of course, we're still singing to one another, but we're also singing with an eye on the world that God loves and what's going to be happening, you know, at work or at home or in our communities in the week. That's the focus. And there's some great songs on there to do that. So I encourage you to go and listen to that Boundless EP on Spotify or wherever you listen to music.
Wherever you get your music. 12 song challenge. We are delighted to be joined by three team captains. Again, we have Travis from Team Wensleydale. We have David from Team
Cumberland.
I forgot which team you are. Cumberland. I've written Clemenger, but that's a spoiler. And we have Leslie from Team Caerphilly. Yes.
Yay.
A special welcome to Leslie. Leslie, this is your first time on the pod, isn't it?
Yeah, be nice to me.
You are so nice to most people.
Always nice.
Yeah. Let's just go around. Travis, David, Leslie, just do a quick intro to yourself for anybody who's not met you or come across you before.
Absolutely. So my name is Travis Hamm. I am a worship pastor here in Keller, Texas, United States. So that's just on the north side of like the Dallas-Fort Worth area, which is probably better known. I've been serving at my church now for about 19 years, been part of the challenge now for, I guess this is what, year six or seven, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So love being part of this community.
So I'm David. I'm from Hull, which for those of you not familiar with UK geography is on the kind of east side of the country. It's the kind of place that you don't travel through. You either go to it or you don't. Many people don't, but it's wonderful. It's been home to us since 1997. So I'm part of a church in the city centre, married with four kids, and have been part of the challenge for many, many years, and wouldn't have been writing songs without it.
I'm Leslie. I live in Derby. I have a fairly full-on job outside of church, but love getting involved in leading worship on a Sunday, which I do most weeks. And been involved with 12 Song Challenge now for quite a few years and absolutely love this community. It's great to be part of it.
Oh, well, it's great to have you all here. I was just thinking, David, when you were talking about Hull, was it Blackadder who listed the three great universities of... Have I got this right?
I don't know. Do you know, people have all these random...
Oxford, Cambridge and Hull.
Really?
Or something.
I picked David Davis up from the train station at the retreat, and he mentioned a Doctor Who episode that had a dream sequence in Hull. So it clearly features in a lot of bizarre kind of cameos. That's good.
Yeah.
I think there's an Only Fools and Horses that had something to do with Hull. We've not hosted great. Love Island yet.
No. Well, we, for the last month, in fact, Sam, you remind us of the challenge from last month.
The challenge was adoration songs, and there was a particular focus on kind of focusing on God rather than ourselves. A lot of people picked up on the idea of doxology songs. That was, I think, something that was raised using the doxologies of the Bible. I think a focus on God, drawing close to God. That was the theme.
Yeah. Team captains, any overall observations on this particular theme, this particular month?
I did feel like there was just a freshness of almost both kind of a doubling of joy and reverence as people seem to take that intentional spotlight off of themselves even more than usual. And as people freshly looked at the character of God and the type of awe that should inspire for him.
Yeah, I think we've done a kind of similar-ish challenge before with kind of the God Songs challenge, that challenge of keeping I and me out of it. So I think I arrived at it again and looking through the chat and seeing people's discussions, you just kind of realize how conditioned you are to describe God's value based on how you experience him and what he does for you. And to step away from that and to just to kind of describe him for who he is. felt like it slowed people down. And I think, like Travis says, then kind of brings them to that place of greater reflection and deeper reverence.
Hmm. Yeah, it's been really interesting reviewing the team and seeing the songs that have come out of this. And it's been a real variety. And I think it's been some quite different songs this time. I think also some people, and me included, have taken quite a while to get going with this. So I still think we've got quite a few songs to come.
Well, we like to pick out one or two as a highlight. Give us a little bit of a snapshot on what's been going on. And so I'm hoping that each of my team captains has brought a song along with them. So maybe we can start with Travis and you can introduce a highlight song from your team.
Absolutely. For Team Lindsaydale, I've picked a song by Karis Vickards. It's called Be Exalted, See a Child. So I always love a thoughtfully written lyric, and the imagery of her voices or of her verses is consistently both vivid and subtly builds throughout her song. In verse one, she begins with the words, "See a child in a stable," as she paints a picture of Christ's incarnation. Verse two, she begins with, "See a man in a garden," as she takes us to the darkness of Gethsemane. Her pre-chorus builds each time around with this beautiful melodic tension that sends us into the chorus, that's full of joy and hope. Finally, she actually ends the song on a third verse, which I want to read because it's too beautiful to miss. It says, "See a king on a throne, shining face like the sun. He is risen in glory, the grave overcome. Name above every name, his angels bow at his feet. For he was and he is and he ever will be."
See a child in a stable, his head in the
interesting musically.
Yeah, there's a nice harmonic shift going from the verse to the chorus back in the the verse to the pre-chorus back to the chorus again.
And just this is just kind of holding this harmonic tension all the way through the verse. It's kind of constantly just kind of never quite sitting, and then rather than land, it then takes you off somewhere else. It's finally when you hit those C majors on God in the chorus. And isn't that great? Just the absolute resolution, the point of musical satisfaction is God. That's really good writing. What else have we got? David?
Yeah. So from Team Cumberland, we've got Keith Clemenger and his song, All Glory Be to Jesus. And I think it's really interesting because Keith got himself tied up in knots. Had he written a praise song? Had he written an adoration song? And so version two, he tried to make it slightly more adoration-y, which was good. Just that sense of listening to other songs on the thread and thinking, had he kind of got the challenge right? I think what he's written is a great song that does turn our attention to who God is. And my co-captain on the team, John, described it really well, that verse one talks about his kingship and deity, verse two around his humanity, and verse three around his future reign. But then each time coming back to the chorus, that almost reveals a new truth because we've gone through those details in the verses. And again, another piano-led song. Maybe that's the way to write an adoration song.
Jesus, Lord of highest heaven.
So we're getting used to Keith's wonderfully rich lyrics and just beautiful melodies that he's delivering month after month.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. That tune really soars. And I love the pace of that song. It really gives you time to focus on the words, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm. I even love the exaltation of the chorus of recognizing that he's on the throne, and yet just the simplicity and the beauty of that he's full of grace and truth and love. Oh, that's wonderful. Mm.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, Joel, as we play these songs each time on the podcast, whether midway through the season we should have like a transfer window and people can put bids in for people from other teams. We would be fighting hard to keep hold of Keith. I think so. Other bids would be coming in from rival teams for a writer like that. Maybe future seasons.
Yeah, but you could sell Keith for quite a lot, and then you could buy several other writers from other teams. And it's all about nurturing young talent. So, you know, some of us could be a selling team, and others could be bankrolled by our heavyweight songwriters.
Yeah.
Should we stop that
metaphor? I believe this is a sporting metaphor. Those of us who are musicians are just like, yeah, whatever, guys.
Well detected, Sam.
Leslie, what do you got?
So we've got the wonderful Justin Davis. Actually, it's Justin Davis and the song Wonderful, although I'm sure he is wonderful. It's been great to see the transformation of this song. I think we're on version 3 now. Justin's been really open to feedback and made changes throughout the month that really improved the song. But he's also not been afraid to reject some suggestions that weren't in the direction that he felt the song needed to go. There's some excellent structure, lyrical content and music. And it's a song that I found easy to recall. I woke up yesterday morning singing it. So it's for me, it's definitely one that's great. And it's a really good one. So, yeah, enjoy.
More piano.
Yeah. That's the formula.
Let's take over.
I also think this might... Surely this is going to be the John Lewis Christmas advert this year.
You precede the genesis of space and time. You devise the excellent by grand design. From you is light. From you is life. You are unlike you create. In all the cosmos your echo reverberates. From you our beauty originates. All the wonders of this earth, each you have prepared. All the treasures given worth, none to you come.
Mesmerizing.
Yeah, it's really good.
In all the cosmos your echo reverberates, from you all beauty originates. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And I think even when you can see that coming up in the lyrics, then it's delivered, and it just delivers more than even just knowing it's going to sound good. It just kind of captures you. I just really like his introduction to the song where he said, I made a decent recording, I'm very excited. And that's what I love about the community. That, like, we have these ideas, and actually just being able to capture them and share them in a way that people can then comment on. And that sends through version 1 to version 2 to version 3. But yeah, beautiful song. Wonderful song.
Oh. Great job, Justin. Thanks, everyone.
Awesome.
I'm aware that because Sam and I are often hosting the pod and we get other captains on, we don't always give a major feature to people from our team. So maybe next time, Sam, you and I should come specially equipped and we'll do a bit more of a feature there. But in a classic podcast 12 song challenge style, what follows now will be a montage of a clip of a song from every other team, which I shall record and assemble after this and insert, and no one will even notice that I wasn't here. So this is just me, carrying on from where I was, what I just said, here are some hits from the other teams. Hits. This is the hit parade. We've got from Team Eccles, Catherine Allen with Oh Lord, I Long to Dwell. Team Dundee, John Pocock, Jesus Name Above All Names. Team Bakewell, Louise Horton, God You're Able. From Team Pontefract, Ashley Berry, You Are. From Team Stilton, Willem Jackson, The Mystery of God. From Team Yorkshire, Dave Acaster with All Honour. And from Team Kendall, Inika Marshman, Paul Heiss with Oh Help, What Bent U Geduldig.
Oh Lord, I long to dwell in your house forever, to gaze upon your face, see your awesome glory, my voice with heavens join, and declare your praises to come before the Lamb. Sing the song of ages.
No voice like yours.
Schieten woorden en beelden tekort, zo genadig als uw ogen mij weer wijzen waar het bij mij nog aan schort. En dan de liefdevolle stilte, u geeft mij ruimte en de...
Every single.
I didn't expect that sousaphone solo in the last one, though.
It'd be funny, I haven't listened to it yet. Maybe they are all on piano. One of them I've got to... I wonder how I got on pronouncing the Dutch in one of them. I'm going to look that up. Star of the Month. Has anyone got a star for us?
One of my suggestions would be Terry Young. He's just been like...
He was going to be mine as well.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that of people that weren't in my team that I saw commenting on people from my team, he was probably number one. Yeah.
Yeah, that was exactly the same reason. So I was in a writing group with him at Wydale, so kind of familiar with him and his name. And then thought, I'm sure he's not in my team, because he was commenting on all the songs I'd commented on. So he's clearly over everything.
Thing.
Oh, really?
I thought, oh, is Terry in my team? Oh, well, great. There we are. Terry Young, you are the star of the month.
Star, 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 star.
Boo, 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 boo.
12-song challenge.
Right then, we better have another challenge, hadn't we, for September. And, well, let me give it a slight preamble. At the Wydale retreat, I did a talk on the first evening, and I wanted to get us, basically talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And I wanted to get us thinking about the fruit of the Spirit as being something that we might see actually in our songwriting. So thinking about how we can be, how we can show love, how we can show joy, gentleness, patience, self-control, all those things. You can begin to imagine how some of that stuff, when you're writing for congregation, you're writing words and melodies for other people to sing. You know, the stuff of, do I do my most creative thing, or do I exercise some kind of self-control? Do I exercise kindness by thinking about how am I going to empower people in my congregation to sing rather than stretch them beyond where they, or patience, do I run away from people because I'm bored of the same old, and meanwhile my congregation says, well, we're not bored. So then I actually have to show patience by coming back, etc. Yeah, one of the great talks, obviously. But I've been thinking quite a lot about the fruit of the Spirit as a result of that. And, well, that's where this month's challenge comes from. The challenge is fruit of the Spirit songs. And the idea here is what we don't want and what we do want. In fact, let me just read the verse from Galatians. Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. I'm sure it's one that all of us can, even if we can't recite it absolutely, we can join in with it and probably get most of the words in the right order, or get most of them in there. So what we want to do with this challenge is we want you to pick one of the fruits. I'm going to say fruits. I know it's not fruits, okay? But I'm going to say fruits for the sake of this challenge. One of the fruits, and focus on that for your song. So what we don't want, and you will thank me for this, dear listener, or you would not thank me for this if we didn't do it. What we don't want is 150 songs listing the fruit of the Spirit. So I know I won't be able to stop some of you, but I'm going to try. What we really want is instead to say, here's this collection of words, and we each take one of them, and then between us, imagine all these songs that we could write together that focus on these different aspects and characteristics. Sam, you were saying a good way to think about it in terms of a sort of a sermon series or something.
Yeah. So imagine like your church says, we're going to do a sermon series where we're going to take one of the words each week, and we're not going to just read the Galatians passage. We're actually going to go and, like, for love, we're going to find a passage about love, and then we're going to preach on that. And then next week, joy, we're going to find a passage about joy and preach on that. And so imagine that your song is either setting up or responding to one of those weeks, and you're just focusing in on one of the words. Not, and I've got to say, I once wrote a song that had the sort of fruit of the Spirit as like the Mission Impossible, like God's mission. And so I used the dun 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 love dun 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 joy dun dun.
You actually did that.
So basically I have nailed that. Nobody else needs to do like any other version, because I've completed it. So
yeah, that's really good. So what can we say? I think probably what you'll find is, let's take love. It's the first one, and it's quite an easy one to use as an example. We're going to write a song about love, and that could be our love, God's love, the way God calls us to love. I mean, there's a whole, we don't want to be restrictive in the way that you work with it. And you're probably going to go and find another scripture somewhere to draw on. So you might go to 1 Corinthians 13, or you might go to John 15 or something like that. And that's where you'll draw your ideas. And similarly with Joy, you know, some people do Joy. We did the happy songs. Was that last season, wasn't it? So some of you are new will be thinking, yeah, this is my chance to do my Joy song, etc. You don't have to limit yourself to the single verse in Galatians in terms of what you're going to draw on. But you might want to think a bit about the context and how those things relate into what Paul's broader section of teaching there, because it might shape the kind of song you write. It certainly seems to me that when you read that scripture, and if you consider the context, Paul is speaking into a place of a community breakdown. And he describes things like biting and devouring each other. He talks about dissension, factions, envy, conceit, provoking, and all these kind of things. And he contrasts those with the fruit of the Spirit. And I think sometimes we just imagine the fruit of the Spirit is a list of moral virtues for the individual Christian. But actually, I think what Paul is describing is a set of spirit-empowered characteristics of a community, as much as he's describing spirit-empowered characteristics of a person. And so that might be a particular way to think about it in that kind of context. I know we're talking all about community at the moment, and that's probably why I've been thinking and noticing that. But I do think I think if you read through the verses that surround it, I think that's a really authentic way of understanding what Paul is talking about. I suppose the other things I thought are maybe just a kind of a caution against it being, you know, you see this, whether it's patience, and you think, well, that's a virtue. We all need to be more patient. We all need to be more patient. Woe to those who aren't so patient. We all need to be more patient. And just to kind of observe that, you can have that for free if you want, David. That's fine.
Did you see me getting my pen out?
Scribbling that down.
to observe that these are fruit of the Spirit. This isn't a list of what we should be trying to achieve and attain. It's a list of what is exhibited through the presence of the Spirit in our lives, but also through walking in step with the Spirit, which is what Paul talks about. And then also that these are the fruit of the Spirit, that these are godly characteristics first. These are characteristics that start in God before they're characteristics that we might see in us or we might see in our communities. I don't have a much more complicated set of instructions or ways of explaining this. Any reactions, team captains?
I think when I looked at this just earlier this evening, I was just thinking, you know, is there one that just sticks out to us? And is it perhaps because it's something we love and kind of understand, or we've read a book about, or actually it's part of a home group study series that we've done or is coming up that kind of fits with that? But actually, is it something that the Holy Spirit is challenging us to look at individually and perhaps researching, praying, listening to God, and turning it into a song would be the perfect start of doing that?
So I had a couple of thoughts. One was just the metaphor of it being, of this being fruit, right? And knowing that some churches have on their liturgical calendar a sort of like a celebration of harvest, and thinking I know we actually did a theme of that a couple of years ago, but having a unique harvest song that's actually focused on the fruit of the Spirit could be a really interesting way to kind of turn that like a prism. I was also thinking about what you were saying about the context and how in the last few chapters of Book of Galatians, you know, Paul's been talking about this, this sense of being made right with God through faith rather than rigorous adherence to the law. And here he gets to chapter 5 and talking about some of the practical applications of this newfound freedom that we have in Christ, and how, you know, we're not to be subject again to this legalistic yoke of slavery, but at the same time, we're not to turn that newfound freedom into an opportunity for the carried out the desires of the flesh. And so then right after hashing through all that, he's like, and here's what you should pursue. So, you know, I think it'd be interesting to look at one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit through that lens of this mindset of freedom in Christ and that tension that we feel between legalism and licentiousness, or, you know, even the verses that follow this look at the fruit of the Spirit, where he gives some real succinct things. One that's a bit of a callback to chapter 2, verse 20 of our identity with Christ that now should affect our lives. And, as well. I almost feel like the last verse of the chapter, everybody should go read it before they post anything online, because I feel like that would actually cause most of us to go ahead and just like cut out and not post that thing online. But yeah, I just think that there's a lot of neat ways that you could go about it. So I'm excited to see what people come up with.
I think for me, it's just looking at that list and recognizing that all of them were perfectly met and perfectly demonstrated in Jesus all the time. And then taking one of those and asking him to help that be perfectly met in you. Not all of them simultaneously, but like the one that's jumping out to me is peace. And there's so much in the Bible about peace that is the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that he leaves with us, and all that kind of stuff that comes out of a life that demonstrated all of these all of the time. And so, yeah, it feels good. I do have to admit, there's a song that I've not been able to get out of my head for about the last 4 months. There's a guy called David Carpenter, and he's written a song called Ha Ha Hallelujah. And one of the bits of the bridge is, one of the fruits of the spirit is joy. And it's just so catchy. And you really need to listen to it. And you will not be able to write anything until the final week of the month if you get that song in your head. But it's just a joyful song. And I think of the words that you're describing. I'm thinking of peace, and it's the arrangement is going to go with something that itself makes me feel peaceful. But yeah, go crazy in terms of the joy. Like, what's the most exuberant you can be to demonstrate that joy that is rising up within you?
Yeah.
Also worth maybe thinking, because I think some of these, you know, how would you turn it into a worship song, a song about self-control? But then I think it's worth remembering that worship doesn't just include praise.
Yeah.
There are other kind of, we've talked about this in previous podcasts, sort of liturgical movements within a service. So maybe it's a confession song, or maybe it's a, you know, you do peace, or maybe you do it for the receive, you know, sharing the peace moment, or maybe it's a sort of response song that is for patience, or it's a sending song about faithfulness, or it's, you know, a gathering song that's about joy, you know. So think of maybe a part of the service where this would fit naturally. It doesn't have to be just a kind of praise God, you're gentle kind of song.
Praise God, praise God, you're gentle. Praise God, praise God. Oh.
There you go, David. There's another one for you.
I'm only allowed to post one this month, Sam.
What do you think is the, which is going to be the trickiest one? Which is going to get the least attention, do you think?
Self-control.
I think it might be self-control.
I mean, I suppose the other thing is, like, self-control is one of the, it's a kind of funny phrase, isn't it, almost? It's an odd, it sounds the least like Christianese. But I would say, you know, maybe if you want an added challenge, you know, what about if you wrote a song about one of these things but didn't actually use the word at all in your song? Self-control is actually...
I mean, that would be an exercise in self-control, wouldn't it?
Indeed. But, you know, in our world of smartphones and internet and all these, you know, get it now culture, self-control is a massive discipleship issue.
Yeah.
So you could go off on a whole song about that, but actually, you know, not even necessarily use the phrase.
I might go the other way and write a 15-verse song on patience, where the final word in the final verse is patience. It just allows people
make us
that
wait
chance
for it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad we've got you, David. Right, well, there we go. So pick one of the fruit and use that as your focus for this month. What you do with it, hey, that's up to you. Let's see and let's have a whole variety of approaches, and hopefully we'll cover all of them. And I'm trying to think. Is a whole? I'm trying to think of the appropriate collective noun for
a bowl.
A whole bowl of songs. Yeah.
A grocer's.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Well, we said at the beginning of the podcast, this has been a difficult month for us, difficult 6 weeks for us at Resound Worship and the Song and Hymn Writers Foundation, because we lost our very dear friend and colleague, Kieran Metcalf. So I just thought it'd be really nice for us just to talk about Kieran for a few minutes. Sam and I knew Kieran very well. Others of us have had maybe some interactions or not, or have been aware of what he's doing, but just to kind of fill in for listeners. Kieran was our systems developer, web manager, at the charity, as well as being a freelance developer, and came on board actually working for, he'd been freelance with us for years, but actually came on board actually as an employed member of staff about 2.5 years ago. And then probably sort of 7 or 8 months into that, had his had a diagnosis of bowel cancer, and since then has been kind of been going through treatment, working off and on, but actually through most of that time had been working on and developing the Song Club platform that our 12 Song Challenge now exists on, and something that all of us who are involved in the 12 Song Challenge will have used and appreciated. And one of the things that was so wonderful, I mean, there's so many things wonderful about Kieran, but it was so wonderful to have our own platform so that when people said, oh, it'd be really good if it did this, Kieran could step in and say, I'll have a look. I'll see what I can do about that. He couldn't do it for everything because some of the things, as I discovered time and again when I'd asked for things, he'd say, we could do that, but we would have to basically dismantle the whole thing and build it up again. And, oh, well, maybe let's not do that this time. And we were at... So Kieran died right towards the end of July. He'd kind of been treating the cancer as a chronic condition for a while, and then, as apparently is quite common with this kind of cancer, it just suddenly takes off, and he went downhill very quickly. So there were all sorts of things that we, all sorts of plans that we had, and all sorts of things that we hoped to do. And I think as an organisation, we're very keen to honour his legacy and to actually really build on the work that he did with us. Sam, I was trying to remember exactly how we first met Kieran. Do you?
So he came to a very, very early Resound Worship songwriting group, he joined the early songwriting group. And I remember saying to you, because you did a little bit of web stuff, and I said, we needed someone to build an Engage Worship website. Can you do it? And you said, oh, you should ask Kieran. And I went, really? Oh, I didn't know. I didn't even knew he did that. I knew he was a songwriter. And I asked him. And so he's been doing our website for, it's probably 17 years. Put it through like 3 iterations. And then when we started doing the Resound website, I think we had an early version of the Resound website actually.
We did,
wasn't
known
by Kieran, and it was basically a nightmare. and we said, this isn't working. And I remember phoning the company. I think enough water's passed under the bridge now that I can tell this story. I phoned the company that was doing it. And they gave me all, in fact, I went around to the guy's house and he gave me all these fear stories about why we shouldn't move away from them and it'll all collapse and all the...
Yeah.
And I phoned Kieran and I said, because we were saying we should definitely go with Kieran. Kieran's brilliant. And I phoned Kieran and I was like, oh, he said all this. And Kieran was so calm. And he said, well, you know, that could happen, but, you know, I'll do this and I'll do it. And honestly, I've worked with lots of different people on various websites and things. He is always, by far and away, just... the best person to work with, generally spotted the problems before they happened. Always wanted to make it work, you know, always creative, so serving, never really charged market rates as far as I could see, you know, did so many mates rates and favors, and so many people's church websites exist because of him. And you know, I mean, I was on HymnQuest the other day, which I'd not really been on before. And I thought, hang on a minute, I know this website. This is a Kieran website. You know, and I could see his fingerprints all over it before I even scrolled to the bottom and saw his logo. I mean, I think the work, like you say, Joel, every single person who is involved in the 12 Song Challenge uses the Engage website, the Resound website, Jubilate, all of those things. You will have benefited from his work.
Yeah. So he told me, you know, we were talking not long before he died, and he was saying that he set up this organization, Ascent Creative, which was his freelance agency. And he sort of caught some of the vision of Resound from the very early days when we were talking about how we wanted to just make the songs accessible. We wanted to serve the church. We wanted to encourage people. All these kind of things. Some of them were ideas we hadn't really fully formed, but he'd kind of caught the sense or the scent of it, And he thought, hang on a minute, I could do this. I could be serving the church rather than working for a, you know, he was doing some software coding for someone. He's like, maybe I should do it. Maybe I should take the plunge and just go freelance. Mm. And, you know, it was great that we had a couple of websites straight up that we could send his way. But his whole approach to Ascent was modelled on this idea, I'm here to serve rather than I'm here to build my own kingdom. David, you were saying that you actually had an interaction with Kieran before you had any Resound connection.
Yeah, I think it was maybe 12, 15 years ago. We decided to rebrand the church that I was in at the time. Someone in the church had designed the logo, but it was kind of a pencil drawing. And I can't remember how I'd come across Kieran and Ascent, but I just kind of got in touch and said, look, we've got this logo. Could you make it look proper? Could you make it look good for us? What are your rates? And it was just like, it's just whatever, really. And I remember having the conversations at Leaders about, like, we really want to bless this guy because he's essentially saying, you don't need to pay me that much, but what he's done for us with anywhere else. But just that real generosity. Then I became involved in Resound and clocked this name as one of the writers of some of the earlier songs. And then, of course, when Song Club came online and Kieran's quite a big feature. But yeah, I guess through all of that, just seeing that responsiveness, that willingness to serve, using his skills to support and to build others up. And I think one of the comments I put when you'd posted the official news was, I think legitimately for many years to come, Kieran could be a co-writer on all of the songs that come out of Song Club, because without it, we wouldn't have had that space where we could collaborate and get the songs over the line.
Yeah. One of the things that also was special is having somebody who had, you know, Kieran was a great songwriter, and we'll play one of his songs at the end of the episode, and you can go onto the Resound website. There's a few songs. He gradually forgot to do the songwriting when he just got more and more stuck into the systems development and design stuff. But beautiful voice, great musician, lovely guitar player. And, you know, when you listen, if you go and listen to a couple of his songs, actually, and, you know, when you come across a song and you just think, oh, that person knows how to write a song. You know, it all fits. It's just, I mean, maybe it's the design thing. It's just, it's all structured just right. It's all balanced. It all does all the right things.
Yeah. I couldn't be at the funeral, but I watched it, the recording, and one of his oldest friends did a tribute to him. And he was saying how he was just effortlessly brilliant musician and singer, and almost didn't seem to know how good he was. But he said he never showed off. He just enjoyed it. He just enjoyed his amazing photographer, award-winning photographer, and just so creative in his music and his but this guy said, you know, he just seemed to enjoy it. It wasn't about ego for him. I think that's so true of him. It's like, you know, he said, I want to be more like Kieran in that. We should emulate him in that.
Yeah. That absolutely was what came through at the funeral. I mean, his young son did a tribute as well, which is just astonishingly courageous and so heartwarming.
Eloquent and funny and...
Yeah, absolutely. But just so often people talked about his... I mean, it's really interesting talking about the fruit of the Spirit and this list of qualities that the Spirit brings out. And I just feel like throughout that service, people described all these things, and particularly his gentleness, his patience, his kindness, just an extraordinarily lovely man. I mean, just absolutely lovely man. And I feel like for me, losing Kieran is probably the first time in my life that I've really wanted to say, God, why him? It just seems, what, I mean, hey, I know why you'd want him, but of all the people who is making this world, who is just leaving a positive print on this world, why would you take him? It's really, it's difficult. It's really hard, isn't it? We talked about his photography. I mean, guys, go on his website, Kieran Metcalf Photography, and just have a look at his, he only got into this in the last less than 10 years or so. He got, sort of got a camera, went out on the in the hills and started taking photos and discovered an absolute passion for it, and turned out to be really, 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 really good at it. It was lovely. At the end of the service, there was an exhibition of his photos in the church hall, which his camera club had put up. And then we were all encouraged to take a print home and give a donation to charity. So they raised thousands of pounds for the hospital where he'd been and for one of the charities that had helped them. And we got to take home a print. And I've just got this lovely one. It's a sort of a mist with some trees coming through it. And I can look at it and I can think, Kieran stood here and looked at that and took that photo. You know, I get to stand in his shoes and look through his eyes for a moment, which is a really, really, really lovely thing. Yeah, there's so many things we could say. I just felt it was important to spend a few minutes talking about our dear friend. We're going to miss him so incredibly much. And we're going to struggle without him in what we're doing. So over the next little while, we will probably be a bit slow and less able with some of the things that we normally try to do. We are gathering a little team of people, which we'd started actually before Kieran died. I was trying to try and gather a team of people who could get a bit involved in some of the behind the scenes dev work and coding and stuff, because we wanted to kind of extend that sense of community of what we already do into helping to support and develop some of what we do. And one of the things that's lovely about people who are coders and developers, it's kind of built into their character. They seem to just love solving some problems. So if you say, we need a bit of, can anyone do this? Oh, I think I can. So we're looking forward to some of that, but we'll also have to be thinking about how we're actually going to manage the stuff we do. So I should say as well, it's just really important. He, alongside Song Club at the same time, over a few years, Kieran completely revolutionised the way our agency runs in terms of handling copyrights and licensing works and things, built an entire platform which we now use and which it runs on, which is now allowing us to connect with all kinds of other publishers and things, and really streamlining the systems, and has allowed us to offer church songs to some of you guys. I mean, and David, you've got songs with Church Songs, haven't you? And
yeah,
it's just given us the capacity to be able to do some of that, because we wanted to be able to support the grassroots writers and say, look, you're singing these things. Some other people might be. Let's make sure you're getting the royalties that are due for them. Let's give you a bit of a means and a platform to be able to share them. So, yeah, so many things. Let's finish with a song. So this one is... this is Kieran's song. This is Kieran singing. It's a song called I Need Not Fear, Greater Saviour. And there's such a poignant... I'll just read three lines from the first verse where Kieran wrote, "Death holds no power. Oh, where is its sting? For I have a greater saviour."
I need not fear, though greatly I've sinned, for I have a greater Saviour. Death holds no power, oh where is its sting? I have a greater Saviour. I cannot hide the depth of my shame, but you are a greater Saviour. Over my failings your promise remains, you are a greater Saviour. And I will give glory and praise to your name. So great is the mercy that lifted my shame. No matter how burdened my heart will proclaim, you are a greater Saviour. You are a greater Saviour. Jesus, my hope for all of my days, there is no greater Saviour. You be all power, all honor and praise. There is no greater Savior. And I will give glory and praise to your name. So great is the mercy that lifted my shame. No matter how burdened my heart will proclaim, you are a greater Savior. You are a greater Savior. Jesus, no one, no one is greater than you. My Savior, no one, no one is greater than you. Jesus, no one, no one is greater than you. My Savior, no one, no one is greater than you. And I will give glory and praise to your name. So great is the mercy that lifted my shame. No matter how burdened my heart will proclaim, you are a greater Savior. You are a greater Savior. Jesus, my greater Savior.